Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What up? You heard the commercial. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, brought to you the New School way. We are brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Cheney / Andermatt, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on. A.A. Ron has found a home. It'll be interesting. We'll dig into more about the, you know, the NFL news, obviously, in this first segment. Obviously, it's a big segment. The Edmonton Oilers, since we dabbled a little bit in the NHL, they were able to pull it off late in the overtime, a dime by McDavid to steal to get the first victory, which leads to, I think, 72% chance of, or higher percentage of winning the, you know, his and Edmonton's first stand of the cup.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
you win game one in the NHL, you have a 70%+ chance of winning the series.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think two best teams, and I hope that Edmonton wins, because then it'll be kind of like getting back to, you know, a little bit of rivalry, right? You know, you remember when, you know, the New Jersey Devils and the Colorado Avalanche, so forth and so on. So it's good to see that. You know, you got some baseball news, you know, with the Huskers, a couple guys, I think, jumping in the portal.
Seven of them.
Yeah, so why have you? Yeah, I want to ask you about that, because I think it's a little bit like Nebraska's football team faced last year, where you showed a lot of growth in baseball. Coaches and staffs are looking for either complementary players or guys that can like plug and play in basketball. They know where Nebraska's at, essentially, you know, or where Nebraska baseball is, maybe in the pecking order, you know, as far as in the athletic department or whatever you want to call it. So this roster is very appealing to come and try to pluck, potentially. And then, you know, just we're 24 hours away from, you know, the first big 7-on-7 tournament held by Blue Blood in their home field tomorrow over there. And it's competitive, and it's going to be live on stage. So it's essentially, it goes on all day, and then you'll be able to first 500 get in for free. You get, you know, essentially food and drink to possibly see the future of Nebraska, or some guys that could possibly be a part of the future of Nebraska, you know, on display at 7-on-7 in a competitive environment, versus like the camps are kind of like, you know, there's, when you have a big camp, you know, unless it's an elite camp, you know, there's probably about 10 to maybe 14 guys that are legit, and everybody else is, you know, there's young kids out there trying to get a look and stuff like that. So a lot going on. Plus, like, you know, the football team, I'm assuming is, you know, well on their way into summer conditioning, so they're starting to train for a bigger purpose, versus, you know, spring ball is kind of the, I like it, I always say it's a celebration, you know, hey, look how hard I worked, look how much we look different, look at the additions, look at the freshmen that are coming in.
You talked about the timing in the NFL, you know, it hits June and you're like, okay, training camp's around the corner. What's the mindset when it hits June for a college football player?
I think it's a little bit slower pace, because they, you know, it's just a different mindset, you know, even though these guys are, I consider them pros because they're getting compensated, but it's a little bit different because you just don't, you know, they're still very, you know, immature and experienced, and you can't fault them for it, because there's guys that are 18, 19 years old. They don't know what they don't know. And you got, versus a guy that's 26, 27, you know, in the NFL. And I know there's exceptions to the rule. The McCormick down in Miami last year was 27 years old, played in college for like 10 years, but I'm just saying in general, they're very, very young, and it's not too far from spring ball. So they're still having a little bit of the spring ball hangover. Plus, they don't have any – well, they do. I'm sure they have, like, get-togethers and practices. But they don't have, in my opinion, the mandatory mini camps and stuff like that, where, you know, there's still moves to be made. You know, I know the portal's always open. You see some – you know, Colorado had a couple, you know, portal gets, you know, today. And so it still is a little bit of transactions, Well, I think it's for college guys is I know it's a different environment and the kids are different because, you know, they want to be the cool kids, right? Where you want to go where it's cool. I think it started out with Oregon with the, you know, plethora of uniforms. And then it encouraged everybody else. You know, we had our kind of alternate uniform run there and we'll wear them every once in a while and everybody else does. And so the kids are different. And whatever team adapts more of a clear, truthful, all in on football while still doing the fun stuff is going to, you know, be, you know, two or three steps ahead towards a championship. And you ask, what does that mean? It means that, like, when you're doing stuff, you know, like, I have to know if me and you were teammates, I need to know you on a personal level. Right. And that's just me and you kicking it. We could be, you know, if we're of age, having a couple of beers, we could be cooking steaks. I could burn a steak, you know, and then, you know, the way you like your steak is different than mine. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
how do you like your steak, by the way?
Medium.
Medium.
And you want to know what? I always thought it needed to be medium well to well done. I didn't know any different. But you know what changed me is when Thurman Thomas took me out to eat. Thurman Thomas, Sam Coward, Sam Rogers. What took me, asked me, and Henry Jones. Don't let me forget about him. Big Bang Hank. Nice. Big shout out to his daughter too. She's gonna make the Olympics.
Nice.
Yeah, ran at USC. Is a professional runner, and she is. You know, I just keep getting the social media updates. She's for real. Yeah, and I think he's a scout for the Chargers. I know he was for a long time.
Ooh,
big man, great dude.
Nice.
He showed me the finer things in life. He did.
Hence the nickname Big Bang.
But it was very like.
Low-key finer thing?
Subtle. Like, hey, this is what you did. This is why you need... Here's what he did. And also, by the way, I don't know if it's going to be on here, but it'll be on a couple podcasts. We're going to start with Frosty Tips.
Yeah. So I think it's a Friday thing, so look out for it.
So the first Frosty Tip I got. We're not going to do it this Friday.
Okay.
We'll save it. The first Frosty Tip I got. And the Big Bang didn't have any... like gray hair, and if he did it, you know, he was
just for men guy.
He was a Pro Bowl safety. He taught me that you can have two suits, like colors, but you could get 12 different combinations with two main suit colors. And he broke it down. So you could have, like, obviously black suit, white tie, and all that. Black suit, you know, like a pink shirt, or, you know, like a tie and all that. Taught me about it, you know, so he taught me how to make my little money stretch. And he took me and showed me. He was the one that encouraged me to go to Canada to buy the suits in Toronto. Because at that time, the American dollar was essentially almost $2 for one.
How about that?
Now, what he didn't tell me, that when we went, we Dookie Rayon Hill, Sheldon Jackson, Sean Bryson, Keon Carpenter, a couple other dudes. That was during like Carabana. It was off the chain. We were doing.
Can only imagine.
That was back when we were hanging out with. We hung out with Mike Epps. He had dreads.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. And another comedian,
probably shouldn't Peters. Be surprised by that, but I can see it.
Yeah, another kid, I forget his name, or another comedian named Peters. They were just trying to peddle to get on stage. We were all having a good time.
I do have to ask, going back to your point too. You know, you said you have to know the people in your locker room, get to know you as a person. It's not like you have 51 best friends.
But
you know each other enough to know generally what makes them tick, and it's obvious if they're not there or they're not working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
Oh, they'll call you out, man. And they'll do it in there, whether it's a joking way or a direct or just pull you aside.
Whether it's offense or defense, doesn't
matter.
They see it.
Oh, it don't matter because we're playing for real. And that's the mindset you should adapt in college because we're playing for real. Because the better we play, the more we get paid. And even if you're the star quarterback, that means you get paid more. The better I played. So if you get paid and I'm dependable, who are you going to bat for?
You.
Me.
every time.
Right. So it's, this isn't a you thing. This is a we thing. And the one thing about, you know, Buffalo, it was a great, you know, I was a little upset when I, you know, obviously getting drafted a little bit late. And then, you know, obviously I wanted to go to a warm city, but it was the best thing. I don't know if I would have lasted 9 years if I didn't go to Buffalo. It taught me everything I didn't know about everything besides football. Why it's important to be, you know, not only early, not to be on time, but to be early. Mm-hmm. What's real work like, even though I felt like we worked extremely hard here at Nebraska. How to work smarter, not harder. How to be efficient with your time, both in season and off season. How to really prepare for a game, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And then it's little things like Henry Jones, you know, heard me talking about golf and how I was thinking about, he's like, hey, man, you want to just come riding around the cart? And it was because he had played and been playing because he'd obviously been in the NFL. But it was 4.5-5 hours of me and him. I was asking him about the best players he played against, what it was like going to the Super Bowl, how many hours, you know, what does he do in the offseason to work out? Where does he work out? How important is it to be around Buffalo? He broke it down and said, listen, man, you know, I just signed up a really new contract. You need to be here in the offseason. I have family back in Chicago. I got kids starting school. I got to go back to Chicago, and I got to spend more time in the offseason. But this is what I do. Period. John Hollisek, same way. I was driving back through Chicago, still to this day, still hit him up.
Mr. Southside.
Right, Southside. I mean, it's those little things, man. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The biggest and also a great thing is you learn how to respect people's space. You know what I mean? It's like, I know Marcellus Wiley has been in the news for, you know, good things and bad things and everything else, right? But if you call him up right now, he still makes fun of me because I'm slew-footed. Big Daddy, you know, Pat Williams, he still makes fun of you, right? Ted Washington does.
Good thing no one else has ever made fun of you for that, right?
But Ted Washington, you know, you would think being a mountain of a man didn't, like, rule out of fear. Like, I always tell the story about the first time I'm about to start. He's like, you scared? I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, you are. He's like, I was like, no, I'm not. He's like, I was scared the first time I played. He's like, if I was scared, he's like, you definitely scared. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what you need. That's what the off season is for. This is what June, July, and, you know, August is a little different because you're in these guys' case in fall camp getting ready to play down in Kansas City. So, you know, the end of July is when they're going to report. But what happens during the first?
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Part of fall camp is all set up by what you did after spring. You know, even though you have some time off, it's still work. There is no time off. There is no off switch. And the sooner that you become one with understanding that it's 24/7, 365, it might not be all day, every day, but you still have to be thinking about football, then you'll be like, you know what? It wasn't so bad when we end up winning 10 games or, you know, whatever.
Pain to discipline versus pain to regret, right?
Yeah. And there's no better example than Ohio State. They had to have some hard talks with themselves, boy. Those things, I mean, just think about that. Being there, number one, the biggest, you know, spread in the Ohio State Michigan history, and you had to still walk around campus. You still had to go get gas. You still had to go get groceries. You still had to fill your car up with gas, you know, or I said with gas. You still had to go to class. And then you still had to come and look each other in the face. Because as talented as you were, there's a lot of guys that didn't play well, didn't make some simple plays. So in order to come back from that, though, in that 2-week span, on top of wondering if your coach is still going to be around.
Right.
And then is Jeremiah Smith going in and they're going to accept the million of offers that he got in the port, all that stuff. I have to know you and respect you and trust you in order to be able to
take the field with you.
To lick our wounds, some bigger than others, and then take the field with without the guarantee that we're going to win, because we're not playing Willie Lump Lump State. We're playing a team that was supposed to beat us up again at home.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say on super national TV, right, based on the situation.
Right. It's supposed to be the marquee game of the first round.
Right. Mm-hmm. And everybody's watching to see how you react.
Mm-hmm. They responded.
So you don't get that. You don't get that response by just showing up and just hanging, not knowing what makes Austin think, what you're doing, or what you're, you know, you have to be so in tune with each other that I got to know your schedule. Are you going back home? What you going to do? You know, just, and it's not interrogating. It's like, yeah, I want to know. Mm-hmm. You got family coming in town or whatever. Cool. Cause a lot, you know, there might be some people that have family that are coming for a family reunion. Like at some point in time, one, you should know that. Number two, you should be interested in it, because that's a big part in your partner's life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like with Farley, we had plenty of times we kick it. You know what I'm saying? He's from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
I thought it was Phoenix City, Alabama.
It just depends on the day. He's from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Stone where Mountain, he's from. Georgia. Yeah. That's where Jerry Blackwell, the wrestler from AWA, is from, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Really?
I think that's where he said he was from. That's his, Austin. It's not on the internet. That's where he said he was introduced from. Big Jerry Blackwell.
According to the internet, he was indeed born in Stone Mountain.
That's where, and you know who was born there too?
Terrell Farley, apparently.
So, you know, that's how you connect, man. I mean, Dr. Death Phil Ellis, still one of my favorite teammates of all time from Grand Island. He didn't, and you know what's funny? I hope Phil's listening. He hates that I call him Dr. Death. he's tough as, you know what, man?
Mm-hmm.
Ruthless. But Aaron Penland, one of my favorite teammates from Jacksonville. That's just it. You know, we've seen Jamel Williams on there, one of my favorite. So you have to be connected, man. This is what you do right now. So this is where it's a little different, because you almost have to work harder to do it in college, because in the pros, you already know that. You could, there's teammates that you played with that you didn't hang out with outside of practice. Now, you know, I always tell the story about Kurt Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
We sat next to each other for 3.5 years. I'm talking about every single day I'd look at him. Whether he was sick, I was sick, whatever. It was Kurt Schultz. It was Sean Price, right? And big Ted Washington was behind me. Sean Price. Empty seat, me, empty seat, Kurt Schultz. Because we were in, like, our facility when I was in Buffalo was, like, we had, like, fourth grade, like, chairs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years. So we communicated. We hung out a lot. We kind of shared notes. And he would give me tips, you know, especially when I started playing. Like, hey, all right, man, you got to worry. Like, this, in this formation now, you cannot let me down. Right? But I knew we're professionals. But once with the practice was over, I told you he gave me a ride home that day. He got two baby seats in the back.
Right.
Yeah, he got to change diapers.
Yeah.
It's a lot different. Whereas in college, you know, I know there's some kids that have families already and stuff like that. But most likely, you know, you guys are going back to your various residences and you guys are within shouting distance of each other. I know they do a lot of things together as a team, but as a separate team on your own, you still got to do it, because at the end of the day, like, if you need a ride home, you know, you would like to think you'd be able to call, you know, a few of your teammates,
right?
And so you got to have a personal, like, relationship with it. And that's what the team building comes from, and or part of it. And then you got to be able to display it out there on the field. It's a tricky time. And it's also it's a tricky time because you can't push it. You just got to let it foster in on its own time frame. And there is, like, levels to it, you know?
I'm sure there's stuff you can do to try to expedite it, but real relationships won't get by with, you know, cheap little, like, introductory, like, party games, like, get-to-know-you games.
You got
to be in the trenches with someone to really get to know them most times.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, we're just talking about Henry Jones' daughter, Jasmine, that ran at USC. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been hearing about Jasmine since she's been, like, in, like, sixth grade when he was living in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And stuff, so... you know, and every once in a while I run into Henry and you know, we'd catch up. So I just think it's one of the things that the you know, definitely have to get after it a little bit and see where it goes. And you know, I was looking at the strength of schedule for Nebraska versus the Big Ten teams. It's like, I think we have the third easiest in the Big Ten. Is that what it is?
I don't know what to think of this, but
well, yeah, because it's all based off last year. Yeah. And then that same, and you know what happens in the offseason is
teams are supposed to get better.
Well, I think you should always prepare that every team has gotten significantly better. But also, I think sometimes, especially in this new age of fans, is because you have so many things that are like accessible. And sometimes players do this. It's like, oh, well, Indiana had an easy schedule, so we're going to go 11-1. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or
let their success become your success.
Or like you get people to say, well, Indiana did it, so we need to do it. That's how you like get rid of good coaches too early. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, or it doesn't matter what the sport is, because you always, instead of taking care of your business or really looking at the facts of what's going on at your place, you're always looking at what they got going on over there.
And it's not
apples to apples. And so, you know, the biggest thing that you could do is obviously concentrate on yourself. But, you know, as far as the strength of schedule before we go to break, you know, that could be, you know, a great like motivator, or it could be a deterrent, because you could think and you could, you know, and you see this sometimes in the NBA. You saw it maybe a little bit with Husker baseball, but more in the NBA. And we'll talk about, you know, the losses with Husker baseball next segment. But sometimes you could go through the season and wait for the run in the schedule. I remember this like it was yesterday when we were right on the cusp of making a playoff with Houston. And then you start counting wins and losses.
Instead of playing
and we did it in Buffalo one time. And it was part of when Wade unfortunately was let go. Because we was like we just assumed Indy wouldn't lose three in a row. Because they hadn't. Right. Well, the three teams that they were playing were desperate to try to make the playoffs. We're playing for it without like what was just playing without like any, you know, ramifications, because they were another team was out of the playoffs. And then number three is it was kind of like a, you know, it was Tennessee, right? So when we were doing it, you know, we kind of lost that our way in that game. And then we ended up winning two out of the last three. And if we would have really performed well and we didn't have an ugly loss, we'd have been in the playoffs.
Ah.
So that's also what you can do, is you can almost get punch drunk, and especially with fans, because that's all they can really, and rightfully so, because you got the list coming out today. I heard like Jake Sorensen and Bill Bush, they said they were going over to Barnes and Noble's, got the, you know, it was at Lindy's or whatever.
I think Phil Steele goes to press tomorrow or Saturday.
But so. The other ones was the someone was today, a magazine was today, I think.
If it's not Phil Steele, I don't listen.
No, yeah, because he's actually pretty good. But you can kind of get drunk off of that. You know what I'm saying? Because you keep reading, yeah. And then you can start lying to yourself. And as a fan, that's all you have, until you see him on Saturday. And then, but as a player, sometimes you can get a little bit drunk off of the intention. You can really talk yourself into not thinking that your opponent is as good as they possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
And understand this: no matter what your record was last year, and Colorado faced this, when you get off-season hype, you are essentially some sort of, in people's minds, a championship win.
Yeah.
Because when coaches and defensive coordinators and position coaches go for other jobs or to get re-upped in their contract, and you're like, you know, oh, this is what we did on a national stage against, in this case, I'm thinking about Colorado. Or in our case, we have to protect our stuff. Like, okay, well, Nebraska is supposed to be a top 25 team. This is what we did. I mean, look at Cignetti after they beat us. He kept mentioning Nebraska ranked this, Nebraska ranked this, even 3 or 4 weeks later.
When he said 3 or 4 games since then,
yeah,
what's he talking about?
Because he was talking about beating Nebraska when they were ranked. Mm-hmm. And then at that point in time, we had just lost to Ohio State barely. Mm-hmm. So he was like, well, then we can compete, because I think it was the week of Ohio State game. We have a common opponent, right? So you get it, boy. So that's why the laser focus is so important, and the hoopla. You know, sometimes you got to turn the noise off,
which is hard to do.
It's almost like getting a teenager off their phone. Ain't gonna happen.
You've never tried to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back. We'll talk a little bit about Husker baseball. What happens after you have some, you know, win a Big Ten championship, obviously go through the regionals, and then you have about seven guys into the portal where, you know, look, Husker fans don't need to panic, but then also, is it a blessing and a curse for that last little, not little, that Big Ten run? Because I imagine I want you to think about this, Austin, if we don't win the Big Ten championship, are those seven guys as appealing to these other teams? Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.